As we continue our lessons about the church, the aspects of the church, biblical aspects, theological aspects, and historical aspects of the church, we come now to this lesson about the church. The church is the flock of God, and the leaders of the church are called the shepherds, and we are the flock, the sheep. So from we will read several verses from Ezekiel 34, John 10, and a few verses from Matthew 25. The word of the Lord from Ezekiel 34, beginning with verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, to Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. From verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And from John 10, beginning with verse 14, the word of the Lord. I am the good shepherd. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Lastly, from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31 and then 41. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then from verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. Blessed be the Lord, the great God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Blessed be the Lord who created all light to be radiant and all wisdom to be holy. Bless this congregation of your people with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and wisdom. Bless us with the word of truth, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Shepherd of the sheep. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, in August of 2020, a popular pastor and author in Texas led a prayer meeting saying, and I quote, "Your church, your pastors have broken your heart by favoring one skin color over another. O Lord God, have mercy on our souls. How dare we? How that must nauseate you, O Lord." End of quote. Later, few months after, February 20, 2021, he wrote, "To be clear, I believe in the traditional biblical understanding of marriage, but I also believe in a God of unbounded grace and love. LGBTQ individuals and LGBTQ families must be respected and treated with love. They are beloved children of God because they are made in the image and likeness of God." End of quote. Who is this popular pastor and author? His name is Max Lucado. He is one of the countless pastors and teachers who have gone woke. Some of these pastors have caused dissension in their churches, leading to the destruction of their churches. Some have even left or are on their way to leaving the Christian faith. Many of you are probably asking, what is woke? So the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines woke as a person who is, and I quote, "aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice." A 2021 satirical book entitled, I Got This at Home, and it's kind of humorous. This satirical book is entitled, "The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness." It has this dedication: "This book is dedicated to Joseph Stalin, a woke hero and champion of the oppressed proletarians." It gives several examples of what it means to be a woke person. And he gives, I think, 10 of them. And I will only quote 6. First, it says, a woke person, realizing the problems in your life are not your fault. Problems in your life are the fault of your parents, your siblings, your friends, your church. Second, worshiping the planet because humanity is evil. Third, rejecting organized religion and mindlessly believing the left. Fourth, finding the racism, sexism, and hatred in everything. Fifth, becoming an absolutely horrible person to be around. And last but not least, example, changing your profile picture to match the current fad. And I will add a seventh, most recent example: the prince who likes the snow black is a creepy stalker. So that's my own. Max Lucado and those pastors and teachers in the church who meet the above examples are woke. They are what the Bible calls evil false shepherds who are greedy for money, power, and pleasures. They do not feed, lead, and care for their flock because they do not do what God's shepherds must be doing. The sheep have scattered over all the face of the earth. But there is one shepherd who is the good shepherd, Jesus himself. He is still gathering all his sheep who were scattered all over all the whole face of the earth because of these evil shepherds. And when Jesus has gathered every single sheep chosen by his Father before the creation of the world, he will return from heaven, gather every single human being who has ever walked on earth, and separate his sheep from the rest of mankind, the goats. On that day, Judgment Day, he will send the sheep and the goats to their final eternal dwelling places. And so our theme today is The Church, Part 8, Evil Shepherds and the Good Shepherd. And we have three headings, and I will refer you to our sermon notes. And also, in the back of the sermon notes, there is an article from Ligonier Ministries, The Shepherd Rescues His Sheep. So first, evil shepherds scattered the sheep. So we begin with the shepherds of Israel in the Old Testament. The Lord condemned the shepherds of Israel through the prophets, particularly in Ezekiel chapter 34 and Jeremiah chapter 23. Who are Israel's shepherds? They are the leaders of Israel, kings, prophets, and priests. The prophets spoke God's word to his people. The priests led the people in worship, while the kings led the people in their civic life. But for most of Israel's history, their leaders failed miserably. How did the shepherds fail to lead God's people? Ezekiel 34, 1 through 24 condemns these shepherds by pointing out the duties and responsibilities that they failed to do. So first, they did not provide for the material needs of the sheep. They did not feed them. Instead, these shepherds fattened themselves by slaughtering the fat ones and taking the wool of the sheep to clothe themselves in the winter. Second, they did not care for them when they were weak, when they were sick, and when they were injured. Third, Israel's leaders did not care if some of the flock strayed and were lost. And fourth, they ruled with force and harshness in order to gain as much power and money from them. And what was the result of their evil and wicked leadership? When wicked kings ruled, they led the people into evil paths of idolatry, sexual immorality, desecration of the Sabbath, corruption, and violence and oppression against the poor. God therefore condemned not only the wicked shepherds, but also the wicked sheep. The prophet Jeremiah spoke God's word against these shepherds because their adultery and idolatry, he said, led my people Israel astray. They committed adultery, lies, and strengthened evildoers so that God's holy nation had become like the wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of these evil false prophets, ungodliness has gone out into all the land of God's people. This is from Jeremiah 23, verses 13 to 15. The evil shepherds not only led the flock into wickedness, but they also scattered them. Because the wicked leaders did not care for the needs of their sheep and were cruel to them, the sheep scattered throughout the land. They went looking elsewhere so they do not starve or are beaten to death by their own shepherds. Not only that, because the sheep were led into wicked ways by their wicked shepherds, God punished his people by scattering them throughout the lands of the Assyrians, Babylonians, and other pagan conquerors of Israel. Who are these evil shepherds today? In Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 23, God condemned Israel's kings, priests, and prophets. Israel was a theocracy, which means every aspect of their life, moral, ceremonial, worship, and civic, were all under the rule of God himself. His appointed leaders were the kings, priests, and prophets. When Jesus came, God's kingdom and people is the church, all who believe and trust in Jesus as their Savior and King. So therefore, today's shepherds of God's sheep are the pastors, elders, deacons, and other leaders of the church. And this is why today we call them under-shepherds. They are not shepherds in their own right, but they are shepherds of Christ. They serve Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep of God. Evil shepherds today are not only those woke pastors and other leaders of churches. Many pastors fatten themselves with money to finance their mansions, yachts, jets, and luxury cars at the expense of their poor sheep. Because of their greed, they rule their flock with impunity and harshness. Take, for example, Mars Hill Church, a Seattle church, megachurch, that used to have over 12,000 followers attending weekly, but its pastor ruled his church like a tyrant. Where is this church today? Gone. Gone. This evil pastor resigned and the megachurch dissolved completely. Where is his flock today? Scattered here, there, and everywhere. Some probably had left the faith altogether. Take another example, that of a megachurch in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, whose weekly attendance used to be over 1,000. Because the pastor ruled like a dictator and received a $250,000 annual salary, about 200 of its members protested the lack of financial accountability and transparency. What then did the pastor and other church leaders do? Instead of dialoguing and talking with the protesters, they excommunicated those 200 members. Today, the weekly attendance of this same megachurch is less than 200. This turn of events have happened even in Reformed churches, even in our own denomination. What kind of shepherds are these? In Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 16, the Lord promised that he himself will be their shepherd who will seek out, gather, and restore his flock scattered throughout the land to his one sheepfold. He will feed them, bind up the injured, strengthen the weak, and destroy the fat shepherds. This is why David says in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this brings us to our second point. The good shepherd gathers his sheep instead of the evil shepherds scattering the sheep. Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, is this shepherd, saying in John 10, I am the good shepherd. How is our Lord the good shepherd, King David's own shepherd? First, Jesus is not a hired hand who has no concern for God's flock. He was sent by his heavenly Father to seek and to save the lost. He is the shepherd who left his flock of 99 sheep to seek for that one sheep that was lost. Second, Jesus knows it's single, every single sheep in his fold intimately, even before the creation of the world, the day of your birth, your good works, your sins, your sufferings, all the way to the day of your death. Third, his search for sheep who are not inside his fold, who are still outside his fold, will never end until all God's chosen people are found. And this is what he says in John 6. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raises up on the last day. He assures all his sheep that they are secure in his fold, that thieves, Satan and his false shepherds, would snatch them out of his Father's almighty and merciful hands. Fourth and last, our Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep who provides for all their needs. So Isaiah 40 verse 11 speaks of the Christ as the shepherd. He says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his own arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. David wrote in Psalm 23, how the Lord gathers, tends, carries, and leads him through the valley of the shadow of death. He makes him lie down in green pastures and still waters, disciplines him with his rod and staff, and prepares a feast for him in the end. He restores his soul and leads him into righteous and holy ways. How does God restore your soul and lead you into holy lives? He says, he lays down his life for the sheep. At the cross, he willingly offered his broken body and his precious blood as a sacrifice for all the sins of all his people. There is no greater love in the history of the world than Jesus laying down his life for his friends. Again, Isaiah 53 prophesies that the suffering Messiah, the servant of God, took up our griefs and our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he bore the sins of many. We are all like sheep who have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On the cross, verse 7 says, he was like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, became himself our Passover lamb and sacrificial sheep. When Jesus saw the big crowds following him, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed and scattered by the evil shepherds of Ezekiel 34. On the night that Jesus was arrested, his disciples ran away and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. But after he was raised from the dead, he commanded Peter and the other disciples, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. This is the appointed duty of Christ's under shepherds until he returns on judgment day to finally gather all his chosen sheep into his one sheep fold. So lastly, the sheep separated from the goats. On that judgment day, our Lord will sit on his glorious heavenly throne. He will gather before him every single human being who has ever lived on earth, separating them into two groups, the righteous sheep and the wicked goats. The sheep are righteous because they have believed and trusted in the great shepherd who saved them from God's wrath on their sins. The goats are wicked and cursed because they rejected him. Jesus spoke of two other parables about this separation. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds in Matthew 13, it says that God will harvest both the wheat and the weeds together before separating them on the last day. He taught the same thing in the parable of the net, where the fishermen harvested both good and bad fish together, but then separated them after he has caught them. And what is the outcome of this great separation on Judgment Day? We read in Daniel 12, verse 2, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And also in John 5, 28, 29, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This is exactly what Jesus teaches in Matthew 25. To the sheep, he will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to the goats, he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So the cursed will go into eternal punishment and the righteous into eternal life. Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who have faith in Christ as Savior, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. His righteousness was not his good works. His faith was counted as righteousness. They have been set free. The sheep have been set free from slavery to sin and have become slaves of righteousness. The righteousness of the sheep is shown by their love for their fellow sheep, brothers and sisters in Christ, the church. They love the church. They fed them with food and drink, welcomed them as their own family, clothed them, comforted them when they were in prison. The sheep of the Good Shepherd loves their fellow sheep. And who are the cursed? They are those who hated Christians, who also hated him. When these goats persecuted, harassed, and martyred Christian brothers and sisters in their time of need, they demonstrated their hatred for him. So yesterday in Pakistan, Muslims burned 10 Christian churches because they said that Christians blaspheme Allah. And this persecution happens daily in those places where the great majority of people hate Christ. But our nation and the West is not exempt from this persecution and hatred of Christians. We witness this persecution and hatred daily with our wicked and evil politicians, celebrities, teachers, and even those who call themselves pastors or shepherds. Beloved Christian friends, we must ask the two greatest questions in our life. The first question is this: am I a sheep or am I a goat? Do I demonstrate that I belong to the Good Shepherd by my righteous and holy life, By my love for my brothers and sisters in the church? Or am I a goat pretending to be sheep by my sinful life and by my lack of love and concern for the church and its needs? That is the first great question. The second great question is this: are my pastor and other leaders of my church good under shepherds who tend and love their flock by their sound teaching, counsel, and care for their physical needs? Or are they evil under shepherds who show no concern and love for their sheep who are straying from the good shepherd, who are harsh in their leadership, whose first love is shameful gain at the expense of the sheep? Therefore, we must be watchful and discerning about our own standing before God, whether we are sheep or goats, and our own shepherds, whether they are evil or faithful under shepherds of Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. And when our days are done, we will find ourselves like David, feasting at our good shepherd's table and dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Excuse me. Let us pray. Our holy and merciful God, our Father in heaven, we praise you and give you thanks for giving us examples in your word of who are evil shepherds and who are good shepherds. And your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is our good and great shepherd of the sheep. Give us assurance that we are your flock, the sheep of your pasture. Give us compassion on those who are lost and scattered, that we may help them find their way to the good shepherd through the preaching of your word and the light of your Holy Spirit. Help us always be in our green pastures and still waters within the communion of our brothers and sisters in Christ, in whose name we ask all of this. Amen.